Hello, first-time parents. My name is Alexandra Latin-Agostino, and I am a newborn care specialist. I am your host for this online summit, a first-time parents masterclass. Learn how to adjust to parenthood and become confident in newborn care. Today, we are on our 12th day of this online summit, and I am super excited about today's topic. The topic of today is Ayurveda postpartum care, nurturing the mother. And I have the honor to introduce to you the expert and speaker, Ameya Dupree. Ameya is an Ayurvedic practitioner, massage therapist, and postpartum doula who specializes in Ayurveda postpartum care. Her mission is to educate mothers and families on the importance of proper postpartum care and give simple and effective guidelines for achieving vital postpartum health. She has recently launched a postpartum care blog and a resource for parents and professionals. Her blog is called Shakti Care, www.shaktikare.com, and I'm sure Ameya will address it later in our talk. And she outlines all of the necessities for a strong postpartum recovery as well as effective holistic solutions to common postpartum problems. Welcome, Ameya.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
Likewise, I am super stoked about this topic because I am myself very much interested in this to learn more about, but I also know that I have had clients in the past year who chose to go this route and chose for Ayurveda postpartum care. So this automatically leads me to my first question. What is a general overview of Ayurvedic postpartum care?
Okay. So a general overview of Ayurvedic postpartum care involves postpartum diet. There's a specific postpartum diet that's involved because in Ayurveda, there are certain foods that are healing for a mother postpartum and certain foods that are not. And it goes beyond just not eating chilies and things like that, not eating brassicas, you know, cabbage and broccoli. But even though that's a good start. So special postpartum diet that includes a lot of spices, also oil massage, belly wrapping, having a strong postpartum care routine, having everything warm. Yeah, so these are all very important.
Mm-hmm. What is Ayurveda?
So Ayurveda is the science of life. That's actually the definition of Ayurveda. It comes from India, and it is the traditional medicine of India that's been practiced for thousands of years through unbroken lineages. And through the science of life, it encompasses all aspects of life. It's not just medicine where you get pills and you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do your entire daily life following Ayurveda by between getting up in the morning, what time you get up, the kinds of foods that you eat, the kinds mm-hmm. of people you hang around with even, as well as herbs and things like that. And so everything mm-hmm. in your life can be from an Ayurvedic perspective. And what Ayurveda really is just trying to be in balance. And there's a basic concept in Ayurveda about the three doshas, and the dosha is basically an energy, and they come from the elements. So there are three doshas. The first dosha is vata, and vata mm-hmm. is composed of the air and the ether elements. The second dosha is pitta, which is composed of the fire with a little bit of water elements. And the third dosha is kapha, which is a combination of earth and water. And so by harmonizing your diet, harmonizing things in your environment, you can come to balance with all of these doshas within your body. And some people may have heard of, oh, like, what's your dosha? And that is because you're born with what they call a prakriti, or a primordial constitution that is unique to you. And so some people have more predominance of particular doshas. Like, some people are more vata. Those people, because they have more of the air and ether qualities, their bones will be light. They could be tall. They're more spacey, more creative maybe. And pitta people are more sharp. They're more intelligent. They're your doctors. They're your lawyers. And they have like a strong muscular body, medium build. And kapha people are more static. You know, they're more the type that like have larger bones, maybe can be more easy, like to sit on the couch and watch TV, among other things too. But, you know, just some of the idea of what, you know, the archetypal people might be like. And so when bringing it around to postpartum care, postpartum has a very strong vata dominance. And what that means is it's actually convenient in a way that it's everybody has to deal with vata postpartum. It's not some people have to deal with this and some people have to deal with that, and it makes it really complicated to figure out what you want to do, especially if you're doing your own postpartum care. If you don't have the ability to have an Ayurvedic postpartum doula, for example, and you're trying your best to do it yourself, it's nice that there's a commonness that everyone has to deal with. And so I'll give you some examples of vata, some of the qualities of vata that, you know, is within your own body and also within the environment. And those qualities include dryness, roughness, subtleness, movability, changeability. So vata is movement, vata is irregular. And so some of those qualities, and those are all present within the birthing process and postpartum. So, for example, during birth, you lose a lot of fluids. And also postpartum, you're continuing to constantly lose fluids because you're nursing. So your tissues automatically get dehydrated and depleted. And so that it's not enough to drink water. There has to be more done for that. So that's one example. Another example is the space that's created after your baby exits your womb. That is considered vata, because now there's an empty space that needs to be, you know, that needs to go back to its original size, and that takes time. And then all of the changes that are involved with your hormones and your body and your emotions. There are so many changes, and all of that is vata. Vata also rules pain. And so through the birthing process and after, there can be a lot of pain involved. And so all of these things are vata, and so they need to be counteracted. And like I said, those qualities of dryness, roughness, changeability. And so what it happens is, for example, you know, vata conditions manifest, such as constipation, gas and bloating, you know, anxiety, fear, all of these things are vata. They're just vata. And actually, it's very simple. If you can just do simple things to pacify vata, then you can bring your body back into balance, and, you know, you can avoid more serious postpartum problems that can come up, you know, postpartum mood disorder, postpartum depression.
Right. So vata is for everyone different. It's individual.
I don't fully understand what you're asking.
So because everyone has different experiences throughout the postpartum phase, so is then the vata individual, or is it all the same for everyone?
Well, and of course, there's different people have different experiences, but certain aspects are the same for everyone. Everyone has a significant fluid loss in their bodies.
Right.
Everyone, you know, even if the mothers aren't nursing, they're still through the process of birth. It's intense. It takes a lot out of the body, and through the process of birthing, it's a lot of energy, and it takes time to recover, and that's something that is a value that hasn't really been embraced in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it's been more of the opposite, where, you know, they're more and more wanting women to have less postpartum time off, or even maybe they don't get paid time off at all, and it creates an incredible pressure. You know,
that totally. And also a lot of moms want to be, you know, immediately, you know, on the go and getting back into shape and don't take enough time to rest. I see that in the postpartum world. So let me ask then my next question. So what strategies, what simple postpartum care strategies should and could a mother incorporate for a strong and healthy postpartum recovery?
Yes, so the first one that I highly recommend for everyone is deep rest. Now, this is very important. You know, it's best to follow the baby's example and sleep as much as you can, especially at first. Sleep when they're sleeping, because nothing is better medicine than rest. Really.
Right.
And so, so this is very important, and it actually can help stop excessive postpartum bleeding and mastitis. Those are two things that are directly related to mothers not getting enough rest. So it's important to rest. It's important to not feel pressure from society to look how much I've recovered, look how fit I am, look how I'm ready to embrace the world, because actually this is a very important time for mothers. And something I really want to make sure I say is that in Ayurveda, the postpartum window is considered a very sacred time, and is considered that the mother gets a full rebirth herself. And so she is sensitive as her own. Yeah, and she is as sensitive as her own baby. And so that means her digestion, everything. It's like she has this incredible opportunity to start back from square one. And whether or not you take that opportunity and rebuild and rejuvenate your body in a good way, and, you know, you can even rebirth spiritually and everything, it's really special, but you do start at that square one. So if you start and not take care of yourself or not get the care that you need and are forced to, you know, do everything, or you choose to go out and exercise and run around or whatever, it's actually that is going to get those things get pushed deep within your body and actually can manifest as chronic health problems later.
Wow. So it has really a deep effect. Wow. So I do know that when I supported my a client last year, that diet was a very profound aspect in the postpartum, in the Ayurveda postpartum care. Can you touch on that aspect of the Ayurveda postpartum care?
Absolutely. And then after that, I want to go into some more postpartum care strategies as well. But the diet is extremely important, and in Ayurveda in general, but it all starts with your digestion. In Ayurveda, they call it Agni, which is the digestive fire. And so postpartum, you've put so much energy into your birthing your beautiful baby that you just don't have hardly any energy left over to digest. And so it's really important that you start with things that are really simple to digest, really simple, something you would feed your baby, really, you know, for their first food, like that. And so some of the qualities that you would want to focus on in general for your entire postpartum is always warm. So you never want to eat or drink anything cold or straight out of the fridge. At the minimum, it would have to be room temperature because mm-hmm. anything cold is going to douse that digestive fire, which you're trying to cultivate because you need to build up your digestive fire. If you don't have a good digestive fire, you're going to have constipation. You're going to have potentially your baby is going to get colic because you're not digesting your food, so then the breast milk isn't digestible, and it kind of goes like that. So that's important. Things that are soupy. So we're trying to counteract vata. And so vata is dry and, you know, and rough. And so we want to focus on things that are soft and soupy and oily. So soupy, mm-hmm. lots of soups. Starting when you're first starting postpartum, you want to cook everything with more water than you normally would. So if you made rice, for example, you wouldn't just make rice. You would make rice that was like, had like, you know, at least 3 times more water than you normally would, probably even 5 times. Cook it for a really long time. And actually,
I remember that. Yeah. I remember the Ayurveda specialist cooked, gosh, what was the name? Chicory?
Khichdi?
Yes. Oh, and that smelled so good. The spices took over the entire house. I loved the smell. I loved absolutely the smell. And as a matter of fact, I asked her for the recipe, and I make it myself here at home. And I'm not postpartum, but I loved it.
Yeah.
So,
and
why is it, again, that you cannot use any cold substances?
Because you're trying to nurture your digestive fire. And so think about like a fire. Think about throwing water on a fire. You know,
mm-hmm.
what happens? It goes out.
Right.
So when you put cold food and drinks into your body, this is in general for your digestion, but postpartum you're extra, extra sensitive. So it douses your digestive fire. And it's so weak already that you really need to do things to kindle it. So you need to have things that are warm. You need to have things that are easy to digest, soupy, oily, fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So another important thing is that you don't do leftovers. Things that are over 6 hours old have a what they call tamasic or a degenerative quality to them. And so when you're trying to regenerate your body and regenerate tissues, putting things in your body that have a degenerative quality doesn't help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that mm-hmm. includes fermented foods, that includes mm-hmm. frozen foods, leftovers. It actually also includes meat. So in Ayurvedic postpartum cooking, we don't recommend eating meat because it has that degenerative quality and is heavy. But if one is going to eat meat, then I recommend chicken and fish soups. So
mm-hmm.
you still want to have that soupy quality. And at first, I would suggest only bone broth. And slowly, as your digestion, you know, kindles, then you can add like little pieces of meat and things like that. But you want to you want to keep those same qualities of the warm, soupy, oily, and staying away from red meat because it's really heavy and difficult to digest.
Okay. So that are the main, that is the main philosophy of a postpartum appropriate diet.
That is just the tip of the iceberg. But I also wanted to touch in on food combining. That's also very important as far as,
uh-huh.
you know, having a strong digestion. So a couple key things is making sure that you eat fruit by itself. Because fruit, different foods have different digestive processes. So for like an extreme example, eating strawberries with enchiladas or something, it would be like really bad because strawberries digest in about 20 to 30 minutes, and fruit in general does. And something like cheese or bread or, you know, heavy stuff, grains, They take about 3 hours. So like a normal meal takes about 3 hours to digest. So if you put something that digests in 20 minutes next to something that digests in 3 hours, then there's a fermentation process that happens in the belly and then creates gas and bloating and toxins and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So eating fruit by themselves, drinking milk by itself, because milk is a full, as we all know, nursing, breast milk, it's a complete food in and of itself. And so it's best to have by itself. But if you were going to have it with things, because also milk is the most rejuvenative food in Ayurveda, if you can make it properly, which would include heating it up and spicing it. We never do cold milk. So heating it up and spicing it. And if you wanted to make a, you know, an extra rejuvenative milk pudding or something like that, that would be okay. That would work. Just don't add salt. So milk and sweet things can work together. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But milk and salt doesn't work together at all. So,
wow.
So there are things like that.
I do know that turmeric is very important, correct?
Turmeric postpartum is not actually, I mean, it is the first few days postpartum. It's really good for the cleansing aspect before your milk, before your milk really comes in. That can help with the cleansing aspect of just helping flush out any toxins or pieces of placenta or anything like that. But you have to be a little careful with turmeric postpartum because you can have it in small doses, but it actually can dry up milk. So you have to be a little careful with that one.
Oh, wow. That's very important to mention. So you mentioned the care strategies. Let's go back to that.
Okay, sure. Okay, so another really important care strategy is having a support system. In order to ensure that you get all of the rest that you need, you're going to need support. You can't do it all by yourself. And even if you have a partner, just the two of you, I don't recommend it because both of you are probably going to be totally exhausted and with the baby and lack of sleep, waking up in the night and, you know, if the partner has to go to work and has all these other pressures on him or her, it's hard to really get everything done, and that can really cause stress in the relationship. A lot of divorces start at the postpartum period, like the problems can start then. And so if you can, I highly recommend also giving opportunities to friends and family and community members to help and support you in different ways. You're going to need help with, you know, chores and shopping and possibly childcare, things like that at the bare minimum. And there are things like, you know, or food, and there are things like people around my area like to use Meal Train a lot. It's like a mealtrain.com. It, you know, it helps organize people to come over and bring meals and, you know, do chores and things like that. Of course, if you can hire an Ayurvedic postpartum doula or even just a normal postpartum doula, that is, you know, I highly recommend it, especially if you have to go back to work, you know, 3 weeks or, you know, anytime, really. If you have to go back to work, you're going to need all the support you can get while you can get it. And with Ayurvedic postpartum care, an Ayurvedic postpartum doula is very specialized in their training and knows exactly what you need and how to help you with herbs and herbal foods and giving you oil massage every day and things like that. So going on to the next topic is the oil massage. So this is a very important aspect of postpartum care. And I just want to say right from the start that getting oil massage is not a luxury. It's actually a necessity for your body. And whether or not that's a, you know, Ayurvedic postpartum doula or a practitioner, or whether it's a normal postpartum massage therapist, or whether it's yourself or your partner, if you can just get that oil on your body every day, it actually, the medicinal properties of sesame oil, that's the recommended oil, is about 70% of the whole benefit of getting
massage.
Because those those tissues are very depleted and dry. And there's this concept in Ayurveda about external and internal oleation during postpartum. And so along with your food that you eat, you want to eat a ton of ghee or sesame oil in your food. Add it to everything. Eat a ton of it, because that helps rehydrate all of the tissues of your body and help soothe that vata. And then the same goes for getting massage. It helps soothe the vata, that dryness, that roughness. And it feels wonderful. It helps, calm you down. It helps the stress levels go down. And it's important for you, and it's actually recommended daily for your baby as well.
Mm-hmm.
So on my website, I have instructions of how to do that and, you know, all sorts of information. But that is an important aspect. And I recommend learning if you're planning to do mostly self-massage, then I recommend doing that before you have your baby, so that you have a, you know, muscle memory ingrained in your body. And so you can just, you know, be able to do that quickly without feeling overwhelmed by having to learn something new. And you've just had a baby and your brain's all mush and you're overwhelmed.
No, I do know, all massages, they are also take rather long. Are they not like an hour or an hour and a half? It's quite a long time that it is really invested in that. Is it correct? Do I remember that correct?
Yes. We try to keep the massages to an hour, because more than that, it becomes not so relaxing, because, you know, the mom's worried about the baby, or the baby's starting to cry, or whatever the reason. But we also, you know, we can have the baby on the table and mom can nurse, because we do a lot of side-lying positions.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. That was such a beautiful view to see. Mom was indeed nurtured while she nurtured the baby. It was beautiful there. No, and you also mentioned belly wrapping, right?
Yes. Yeah, so belly wrapping is a really important self-care treatment. It takes a lot of time for your displaced organs to move back into their pre-pregnancy location. And so you have this big empty space in your womb, and you want to just keep that all, you know, tighten it all back up and help, you know, keep that all kind of like swaddling your baby. You're swaddling your belly. You know, it's comforting. It helps those organs go back to their pre-pregnancy place. It helps, you know, give some support to your kidneys. And so, you know, it's an easy thing to do. I recommend a piece of cotton cloth. I like to use like a knitted material. And you can just go, you know, a simple way to do it is just, you know, go to your local, you know, craft store or something, and you can get a nice piece of thicker knit cotton, and it's about 10 inches wide by about 15 feet long. And then you wrap it around your belly, but you also include your hips and, you know, I would say up to your solar plexus. So you kind of do a crisscrossing kind of motion and keep that on. It's good to keep it on for all 6 weeks.
Oh, 6 weeks. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
What are the most important steps that a mother can take to ensure the health of her newborn? You know, thinking about healthy breast milk through diet and daily baby massage, you know, all these aspects.
Yes, so absolutely. The the postpartum diet is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself and for your baby. And by following a really good postpartum diet that includes a lot of good spicing, which includes a lot of like chai spices like cinnamon, cloves, a little bit of nutmeg, black pepper is really good, ginger, you know, all of the Italian herbs or most of the Italian, like basil, oregano. I want to just touch on onions and garlic for a second. Onions and garlic in general are not recommended postpartum, but when you brown garlic, chop it up really small and brown it in oil, sesame oil or ghee, then it becomes an amazing postpartum medicine. And it's great for, it's a galactagogue, it's great for digestion, it helps your immune system. And so that is a good one, but only if it's browned in oil, no baking, no raw or anything like that. So that's, we actually have a special medicinal chutney, like a little condiment on the side. That's a special garlic condiment that in the first couple of weeks of postpartum, we give to the moms every day.
Okay.
Yeah. But, so yes, proper postpartum diet with lots of good herbs, and spicing and oil and basically your breast milk is like nectar to your baby and that's what you want it to be. But breast milk can be difficult to digest. You know, if you're eating frozen casseroles and, I don't know, pizza,
right.
Things like that, then for sure your breast milk is going to be hard to digest and, you know, can create baby colic, which I went through myself. Yeah, I went through myself with my daughter and it's absolutely terrible. And anything you can do to not have to go through that and not have to have your baby go through that, really recommend.
You know, you also touched on baby massage, right?
Yes. Yes. So baby massage is very similar. You know, it's the same. It's oil massage. And that is something that is so wonderful for your baby and has so many benefits for your baby and for you as your parent and the connection that you have between you two. And it's relatively simple, just like 10 or 15 minutes maximum. And you always use warm oil and you make sure the room is really warm because you want your baby to have a good experience. You want your baby to have a really good experience, especially the first time, because the first time they get oil on them, it's the first time in their lives and it's a whole thing and you get that look on their face. And so you want to make sure when you do oil massage that your baby is awake and is in a good mood and is giving you cues that, you know, that look like they could be ready for it. And so, yes, there's, you know, it's a simple little routine. And again, on one of my posts, my blog posts, I have the instructions for that. And so you do that and you can even do little baby exercises with them. And it helps bring them into their body and gives them a very healthy sense of touch also, among being wonderful for their digestion and their growth and so many things it's good for. And actually, in Ayurveda, it said that if you want to give the very best life insurance policy for your baby is daily warm oil massage and high quality breast milk. If you can give your baby those two things, then you are on the right track.
Oh, wow. That's, you know, something what I've heard before, but yet daily baby massage is something that hardly is ever, you know, applied. Sometimes parents go to a baby massage class, but mostly this is not really approached. So this is amazing to hear that this really is beneficial for a baby. When you support parents, then you always want to make sure that they are doing this daily, or is there a certain routine that needs to be approached?
Well, usually you would teach the parent postpartum or baby, baby massage. You know, you start doing it once the cord falls off, the cord stem falls
right.
off. Right. Yeah. And then from there on, you know, it's, I'm sorry, I lost track of your question. Can you ask me that again?
No problem. Is it something that you do daily, or is it something that you do more than once during the day?
Oh, I see. Yeah, so it's daily. Yeah, just once
okay.
a day. And it's something that, you know, you want to encourage parents to create a routine for themselves and for the baby. It's a really good practice for soothing Vata and just kind of like knowing what's going to happen next and many things. But yes, yes, you figure out when is good for the baby. You would give them less of a vigorous, or you would give them less of a massage if it was in the evening, because it could stimulate them more and have them not fall asleep right away, actually. So, you know, but you do it once daily, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And then, you know, in our tradition, we float them in the bath. We, you know, hold them very strongly and carefully, but then let them, like, with your hand under their neck and grabbing their arm, and then let them float freely and get to, like, explore the water a little bit. But, yeah, the massage and then a hot bath afterwards goes together, both for the mother and the baby, because the hot bath helps dilate the channels of your body. And, of course, it releases any, you know, toxins that might be in there, but also it helps the oil that you put on your body penetrate deeper into the tissue layers of your body.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Can you tell and share a little bit more about the essential elements that should be included in a postpartum Ayurveda care plan?
Yes, I'd love to. So I highly recommend all of you mothers out there to create a postpartum care plan for yourselves, or, you know, have somebody help you create one. Because once your baby is born, it's kind of like all bets are off. Everything that you were wanting to do or hoping to do, it's like a million times harder to accomplish those things after the baby is born. So the first thing is preparation. You know, make sure you do your homework, do your research, find out as much as you can about what to expect for postpartum, so you're prepared. It's really important to have a support system. So you want to organize that in advance, and please don't be shy to ask for help. Like I said before, please expand your support system outside of yourself and your partner, if at all possible, to your friends, community, family, and even a postpartum doula to be there for support. Another important thing that's worth noting is figuring out what you want for the directly after birth plan, I call it, you know, because, you know, like the first meal that you're going to have, who's going to cook that for you? You know, I recommend having somebody on call that's ready to cook that for you. And, you know, they get a call while you're in labor or something like that, so that they can bring it over for you, or, you know, you can, or somebody that's on your birth team can, you know, set it in the slow cooker or whatever during the birth, so that you can have that first meal be, you know, really good for you, and not just like, oh no, I'm hungry now and I need to have some pizza. You know, so, you know, having that ready, also having like a strong digestive tea, you know, shortly after birth is a good idea. In our Ayurvedic tradition, we usually give the mother the spiced ghee right after, like literally, right after birth, like a tablespoon. Even normal ghee would be fine. And that just helps, like, kind of set the stage of, like, all right, we're going to start calming and soothing Vata right away by having some ghee and a little bit of warm water. So as an example, some other things to consider is, are you going to have a hospital birth or a home birth? If you're having a hospital birth, what kind of things are you planning to bring with you? I actually, I have a free offering on my website that's it's a postpartum planner. And in that, for example, one of the things in there is a hospital list. So recommended items that you would bring to the hospital, whether or not you were planning it or not. It's recommended that you have that. So if you weren't planning on being at the hospital, at least you have some things in a bag that you can grab on your way out that will help just kind of keep the, you know, soothe Vata and keep that energy going, so you're not like drinking ice water and things like that, you know, while you're there.
Right.
So another thing that I recommend is getting a shopping list going and, you know, buying all of your foods and your spices and your oils and your ghee, not only food, but maybe extra heaters, an electric tea kettle, hot water bottles I highly recommend to use all the time. And especially on your womb area and your lower back, you can just rest with those all the time, and it's a wonderful and relaxing.
So let me then quick ask you a question, because we are all worried about, you know, the room to high of the temperature. It's rather it's better to rather have a lower temperature, but Ayurveda postpartum care is different. It is more encouraged to have a higher temperature.
Yes, it sure is. Yeah, yeah. It's in Ayurvedic postpartum care, you want that room warm. You want it warmer than it's usually warm, you know, and extra warm, because that heat helps, because you need heat. You've expended a tremendous amount of energy and heat during the birth process. And, you know, you need that heat. That's another aspect that I didn't mention about Vata is it's by nature cold. And so heat counteracts that. So, yes, we keep the rooms warm. You want it to be like a really cozy nest. Just like, you know, when you're in a hot space, it's easier to fall asleep, right? Even if you don't want to. You're like, oh, I get drowsy, I'm sleepy. And so that's kind of the energy that we're trying to create for the healing process.
It's such an amazing and intriguing subject to talk about this. I can go on and on and on. It's really interesting to listen to this. Now, you do have certain offers for the listeners. I remember you mentioned something on your site.
So I have a free offering on my site for signing up with my newsletter, and it's a free postpartum planner, and it has a ton of useful information in it, including all of the foods that are healing postpartum, the rejects, the things that you want to stay away from, the spices, all of the important elements to having proper postpartum care, also the massage instructions for self-massage for mothers, and also instructions for baby massage and hospital lists, and all sorts of goodies are in the planner.
Oh, my
gosh. And
how amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, I highly recommend that everyone listening to that, go to my site and download that and read. I have a lot of blog posts on there that cover all of the essential elements of postpartum care. And I'm really excited to share this information, because I know it's not out there. And it's actually really simple, and it can be done, and it can really help, you know, mothers and families and society as a whole. And I also do offer phone consulting or video call consulting services, and have anywhere from just a simple, you know, planning appointment to a full 6-week postpartum consulting. Like, I'll be there for you through the whole thing remotely.
How amazing is that? I really like that idea. So mention your website again so everyone knows where to get a hold of you. And I also will mention it in the email that I send out to the listeners.
Yes, it's www.shaktikare.com. And that is spelled S-H-A-K-T-I, Shakti. care.com.
Thank you so much, Ameya. This was such an amazing information, and I learned so much myself about Ayurveda postpartum care, and I am absolutely sure that this is also for our listeners, because this is something that not is really loved, you know, talked about, so often talked about. So this is really amazing. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing this all with us and for making yourself available.
Yeah, and thank you so much, too, for offering this beautiful service to all of these mothers. And thank you to all of those mothers out there that are listening. And I hope that you have amazing postpartum experiences and bless you in your lives.
Thank you so much, Ameya.
Thank you.